Hello, everybody. Welcome back to YAG. Turn to your left, to your right, and say hello and welcome back. Well, Alistair, where's nobody to your left? It's such a joy to hear the buzz. As we start YAG again, I thought we'd do a little bit of a blast from the past. So your last memory of YAG would have been this. The YAG outing, and that concluded the first half of the year. And I do hope that you enjoyed the amazing race that we planned for you with severe help from AI. You were split into different groups and given different clues to different pit stops. And at the different pit stops, you also had different activities. I have a collection of all the artifacts and the funny things that you all have done. Don't worry, it will be kept under wrap. And some I'm keeping for the end of the year because there are some for the... There was one very youngest person in the group. doing a lot of things, being made by the group to do a lot of things. But just some photos, I think this is from some of the pit stops. Some of the activities had to require you all to do poses. But I think the highlight of the entire amazing race was just the eating. Right? So you all chilled at various places. There was one group that chilled for 90% of the time. And did not go to any of the other pit stops or went grudgingly. And then poor Pastor Mitch's group had to go kopitiam. The rest of you had like, wow, crepe. And then of course, look at Alistair and how delighted he was. But there was a theme to the amazing race, and that could be summed up by two videos. So you're wondering which video, right? Some of your embarrassing ones I did not show, but that's one. I think one of your groups had like a very TikTok savvy person. This one. So we're going to... And this is a roundup to the amazing race because it ties up a little bit on what we have been studying in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Remember
your creator.
So stylo. So this was one. And then another one, which spoiled a bit of our market. This is Pastor Mark's group. Okay, this one was also quite nice.
B-A-R-E-O. Dear God, remember your creator.
Wow, still got bird chirping. I do hope you enjoyed the time, not just running around or the feasting, but really also getting to know one another. I thought it was a nice end to the first half of the year. And then we had a break, right? So some of you went traveling, and also Pastor Mark said, show some of your holiday photos. So Pastor Mark and I went to the Italian Alps. Just now I showed this at the start slide and Luke asked, that's taken by a real person. This is not AI generated. This is a humble iPhone 15 because the Lord's creation speaks for itself. So it was beautiful. Rolling hills and towering mountains. This was the highest meadow, I think the highest meadow. All the names of the places are in Italian, so I cannot pronounce, and I will not butcher it. And this was a beautiful journey. Rolling hills, towering mountains, and we decided to go on a 20-minute walk to a hut. On paper, it said 20 minutes, it took us an hour. Because our pace is one quarter of the lived reality. And we ended up at the hut eating apple strudel. So we were Yeah. The apple, there was more apple than strudel. And the apple was just filling out, but sitting here, chilling and looking at the Alps, it was amazing. We also had a lot of cable car rides, so my itinerary was AI generated, and my prompt was, I'm not big on hiking, bring me to places that I can get to by cable car. It's a very useful prompt. So this was one of them. This is called a coffin cable car. Because it can only fit two people, so it will come, you line up, and then the guy will just shove you inside, and then you go all the way up. Beautiful. We also did some hiking. We did some hiking because we brought our hiking sticks. So Pasma and I said, at least take photo with them. so we used them once. This was quite amazing. So we started from here. This is the gentle route, which was going to take too long out of the screen. So we decided to take the shortcut, which is a steep incline up. So my dear husband, so there was halfway through, I was resting, and then I saw this guy with baby behind. Oh, then his eyes met mine, my eyes met him, and then he said, "Hi, Mrs. Tan." He's a teacher. See me in my unglam. Then he said, "Let's take photo." But this was amazing because the hike brought us to see this. And this is huge, no? Because you see the people there, so it's humongous, you know. It was 10, almost 7-8 full days of this, you know. And we drove, and I am thankful that Pasmak is a control freak, so I cannot drive. Right, he has to drive. Unfortunately, for me, he has to drive. So initially when we drove, and we were driving along the mountains, and hairpin loops and all of that, and every few minutes he would go, "Are we there yet? Are we there?" Then I'm like enjoying the sights, right? You know, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Until we reach the top and we see this. You know, it's amazing. You know, and there was one point where we looked down, and we saw this, and this was the road that we were driving along. You know, and throughout the trip, it was an amazing trip. So I'm not selling Italy. You know, but along the way, it was amazing spending time with God's creation. But beyond that, for me, the looking across the mountains from the top was very therapeutic. Sometimes when we are in the daily grind of things, and the daily grind started the Monday after we touched down, it's like, it's back. Yeah, right? So those who go on a long holiday, Joe, welcome back to reality. Right? It's back. Then the teachers, after 1 week, "Oh, it's back. They are back." You know, and sometimes the daily grind gets us down. You know, and for this trip, I was reminded always to learn to rise above. To rise above, and as we ended Ecclesiastes on this verse, you know, what is the conclusion of the matter? We look at our own lives, but we look to God as our creator. You know, and he looks down and he is in control of every aspect of our life. You know, and for me, it was just this glorious reminder that what is the conclusion for us in our lives? Truly, it is to fear God and to keep His commandments, because this is man's all. You know, so I hope that you are excited to start the second half of the year. No more Ecclesiastes, really. I finished already. But Pastor Mark will share what he's going to cover for this half of the year. You know, but really to come back to first things first, which is our walk with the Lord. Which is whether we walk in the fear of the Lord, whether or not we can then deepen our spiritual life and focus on that, because in the midst of all and every season that we find ourselves in, truly, we want to be able to say, let me learn to fear God. You know, so I thought I'd begin our, this was the view in our hotel room. I thought I'd begin YEG, this half of the year, with this song, Rejoice. You know, and what better way to start than to affirm and to acknowledge that, like what in the chorus it says, throughout every season, we are sure that we have every reason to praise the Lord. You know, and let this be the start of our journey alongside one another at YEG as we start this half of the year. Rejoice.
Good afternoon. Well, so glad to be back here. Thank you, wife, for leading us in a time of worship. And, you know, it's just so wonderful that we can have the outing and really had a good time of fellowship, good break. Yes, truly wonderful to be able to see God's creation and all His wonders. And really being able to just refresh ourselves in the Lord. But we do begin YEG, and we are going to go into the Psalms, okay? And how are we going to approach this? So I'm going to explain a little bit about how we're going to approach this, and hopefully it will be something for us to learn new lessons, especially about how we ought to pray and to relate with the Lord. So we ended up with looking at fearing the Lord. And then, as you recognize, when we talked about lessons from Ecclesiastes, a lot of it really has to do with things that Solomon was struggling with and the things that we all find very relevant and real in the context of work, life, family, and so on. Okay, but when we come to Psalms, we are going to focus that much more on our spiritual walk, our spiritual life. And today we are going to actually address that in the way in which we live our lives. Okay, well, let's pray and then we can begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you that we are able to go into a new book, to be able to study the Psalms, especially the Psalms of David. May we continue to learn lessons that are going to help us grow in terms of our walk with you, how we are living our lives, and the way in which we want to cultivate our faith. We pray that you will enlighten us and bless our time together. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me just briefly explain the approach. So we're going to take a thematic approach. So we're going to look at certain themes concerning the Psalms. So our focus will be on the Psalms of David, at least for now, what we call the first book of the Psalms. And so there are 41 Psalms. And we're going to collate them. We're going to cluster them along the way. So we won't be looking at it, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on. But we will take it as from a thematic approach. So some of the themes that we'll be working with are worship, prayer, repentance, vindication, contrast between the righteous and the wicked. Okay, so first off, we are going to look at how we ought to pray and the need to pray. Okay, so that's why we are going to start with Psalm 4. Okay, now I'm just going to leave the subscripts for you to just take a look, but let's look at the context of this psalm. And why is it important for us to study this psalm? Okay, so as you look at Psalm 4, right, let's look at verse 2. And he raises this concern. Okay, in verse 2 it says, "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood?" Okay, so the context of this psalm really is about how he is addressing enemies. And when you deal with enemies, it is really a life-threatening situation. So it is of great concern for David as he writes this psalm, as he goes through this circumstances of life. What are they seeking to do? They're causing all kinds of distress. Right? They are seeking to turn his glory to shame. Now, we really don't know when exactly the situation was. He has been through all kinds of distress. King Saul sought to chase after him, tried to kill him. There was a time in which his own son Absalom sought to sought to take his life also. So there were possible life-threatening situations, and it was really distressing. He was king; that is his glory. But yet they were trying to find ways to bring shame to him. They love worthlessness, and they spread all kinds of false things along the way. So that is the context of this psalm. But how did David respond to this? So let's look at verse 1. And he says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Now, God of my righteousness, what's that all about? Now, this is not your usual title for God, right? Most of the time you have Lord God, Lord of hosts. But here he says, God of my righteousness. And he has chosen this title in this psalm, in this context. And we want to ask ourselves why. So, God who is righteous, David, also sought to live in righteousness. Right? This is David's commitment. He seeks to live a life that is holy, a life of righteousness in contrast to the enemies, right? The enemies, they were evil, they were unrighteous, they were unholy. Now, what is this got to do with prayer? So what we see here is that in living a life of righteousness, then God would hear David's prayer. So this is something for us to think about, right? And therefore, he raises this prayer to him. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. So this is not imputed righteousness, like what we read in Romans 4 and 5. This is really about the way in which he is living, a life of righteousness. Okay, and then you have relieved me in my distress, have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Now, how does he know this? That in living a life of righteousness, God answers his prayer. It's because of experience. And we read this in verse 1. You have relieved me in my distress. God has answered his prayer before. Right? Why? Based upon his life of righteousness. So this is something that he has experienced before, and because he has experienced it before, he seeks to do the same thing. That as living a life of righteousness, he is able to come to God, calling out to him, praying to him, and knowing that God will answer accordingly. Now, of course, there is a place for mercy also, and that therefore he pleads for mercy. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. But the focus is actually on his righteousness, right? He can plead, he can recognize his need for God, help, God's mercy. But what comes first? Actually, his righteousness. So this is the way in which David had learned to pray and it's become his theological understanding of prayer. And that's what we want to be able to do as we look at prayers and worship. We want to be able to develop an understanding or theological understanding of prayer, of worship, and so on and so forth, as we look at how David prayed. And this was the way in which he sought to pray. He lived a life of righteousness, and then when he prayed, there was greater sense of confidence. Now, it also, I think that's an important perspective for us to have. Now, in verse 3, we see this again, right? In verse 3, he goes on to say, "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly." And then he talks about God answering his prayer. "The Lord will hear when I call to him." Notice this, right? He raises this prayer, verse 1. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." And then he talks about something that he has experienced before. And then in verse 3, he talks about it again. "But know that the Lord has set apart." Set apart means sanctified. Set apart being someone that has a special place with the Lord, who is close to the Lord, who is distinguished from others. And he is someone who is godly. Of course, he is also talking about himself, right? That he has been godly. And therefore, the Lord will hear when I call to him. So this is an important aspect for us to think. A lot of times, yes, we think about praying with God's mercy in mind, and that's important. And we do need God's mercy. But how we live our lives also matters. The righteousness in which we live our life, the way in which are we seeking to be godly? Are we seeking to be holy? Are we seeking to live our lives in a way that God, when he looks at us and when we cry out to him, when we call upon him, that he will hear? And in that confidence that we can have in being able to pray to him. Now, it doesn't mean that we do not learn to have humility. Yes, ultimately, it is God that would have the prerogative to answer. But the way we live our lives, our righteousness actually matters. So this is what we want to consider and think about that much more. How we are actually living our lives, right? Does it really matter? And the answer is yes, absolutely. Now, I give you an example, and David raises this as a concern as he meditated during prayer. Okay? For example, when you look at our own lives, and there is the problem of anger. So in verse 4, we read, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." Now, of course, anger is an emotion. It is a concern that we all need to consistently check. It has to do with the heart. It has to do with whether we have allowed ourselves to fall into sin. Now, anger is an initial response, right? And the thing is that, does it lead to sin? Right? So if we allow anger to fester and we don't keep it in check, it will become sin. And when sin is in our lives, it affects. It affects our prayers. It affects the way in which God looks at us and sees us. So I know that anger is something that we all struggle with, right? We can be angry with each other, you know, husband and wife, and we can be angry with family members, our colleagues, our kids. You know, so anger is something that all of us struggle one way or another. You can be angry with the world, right? The world is what it is. But how we live our lives matters. So if anger is an issue, it actually affects. Right? You know, so sometimes we all assume if we are angry with each other, then we pray, you know, the assumption is that God will nevertheless answer our prayers. He may not. That's the thing, you see. Righteousness matters. So sometimes we tend to think that if we can live our lives the way we want it to be and still pray and expect God to answer. And sometimes when we look at our prayers and then God is not answering, a question that we need to ask ourselves, how are we living? How close are we with God? Are we living our lives according to God's ways? So anger is an issue. And of course, as we pray, and if we don't deal with anger, therefore he talks about meditation. Right? We learn to meditate. Meditate within your heart, on your bed, and be still. So of course, for David, he's going through a hard time. There are enemies. There are distressing thoughts. It may affect him throughout the day. As he comes to the end of the day, he sits on his bed and he meditates. And he wants to be able to meditate on the right things to find that stillness again. If we allow our anger, see, sometimes when we go through problems and we go through distressing times, anger can come. Anger can affect us. We get upset. We get angry with others for no rhyme or reason. But anger comes, right? And it affects. It affects you. It affects others. It actually affects your relationship with God. I don't know whether you actually thought about that before, that by being angry, it's not just about the impact on you and your relationship with others. Actually, by being angry, you are affecting your relationship with God. Because it is sin. And sin, no matter what kind of sin, it will always lead us away from God. And that is the concern that David had. And he learned. He learned to meditate. What does he meditate on? He meditates on God who is his righteousness. He meditates on God who has relieved him of his distress. He meditates on God's mercy. He meditates on God who has set him apart, sanctified him, specially related with him. God who has heard his prayer again and again. And as he meditates on these things, stillness comes. You know, when you meditate, it's important to meditate on the right things. If our minds keep going back on the things that causes us to this, you know, to find, you know, that we end up being distressed and so on and so forth, it will affect. It will affect our relationship. It will affect our relationship with God. So that's something for us to consider and to... Okay, very quickly. What do you all think? Gabe, what do you think? It's been a long while since we heard from you. Let's think this through a little bit. So, okay, how? Yes. What do you think?
I think it's very fresh perspective to see that the effectiveness of our prayers are not just based on our prayers alone.
Correct.
But it's really the whole life behind it.
Yes, absolutely.
And the relationship with God that matters the most.
Yeah, it is. So when you think about prayer, You're right. It's never about just your content, right? About it matters, sure. But it also matters about how you are in terms of your life and where you stand before God. Right? Because God is going to look at you and look at your life. If your life is in a mess, you are living in sin, and you are angry, you know, end up with a life that is really sinful and ungodly and unrighteous, you're going to have a problem. Okay, Angela, what do you think?
There's no particular thoughts in particular yet. Still thinking. But yes, I mean, I see how anger can be something that leads us away from God, or sin, yeah. Sin in general, because
yes.
It's something that builds upon it. So
yeah.
you sin, then you're angry, you sin, then you feel shame, and then you stop praying, and then that's a slippery slope that sometimes
yes, correct.
Can happen.
Yeah.
So I mean, I do think it's very important to be still, and stillness of heart and mind is something that is very difficult for, I think, a lot of us amidst like the many things that we are looking at every day.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of the most like understated things that we need to focus on.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. See, and the thing is that we need this in life, right? Because of all the problems and challenges that we all face. But you recognize that getting to this point is never easy. Because sometimes it's really the problem that we have within ourselves, within our own hearts. And that's the problem of sin. Seriously. It drives us away from God. It leads us, as you say, a slippery slope. And it affects. It affects the way... You see, so sometimes when we talk about prayer, where we are and, you know, how we stand matters. One of the things that we will come to is the penitential psalms. And you will recognize that is something that is truly important. Psalm 51, Psalm 32, which is going to be crucial in our own lives. Right? But as long as sin is there, we have not learned to deal with it, and we tend to think that, assume that we can pray and God will answer accordingly, think again. And I hope that this is something for us to begin the second half of the year to rethink about how we are really living. Whether we are really living in a righteous way. Now, of course, we are not talking about sinlessness and so on and so forth. But it's really being able to establish certain, way of life that we have established that is righteous in the eyes of God, that we are living the way of the godly rather than ungodly, and that our relationship with God is something that is far closer than before. And we want to be able to rethink this very carefully, because if we don't, then it does affect things. It does affect our prayer. It does affect our relationships. Right? Okay, let's move on very quickly due to time. But let's look at verse 5 now. Now, this is what we call a post-prayer. Now, assume that we've been able to live a life of righteousness. Then what happens after we pray? So this is what we call a post-prayer situation, right? And verse 5, he goes on to say, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Now, what do you think that means? Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So there you have it. great concern, problems, turned to God in prayer. He has sought to live his life in righteousness. He meditated on God and how he has sought to live his life in righteousness. Now, this is post-prayer, and David is able to offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Again, what is that about? Why sacrifices of righteousness? We know what sacrifices are, right? Of course, in Old Testament, they make sacrifices. But of course, in our context, it is what we offer to the Lord. But what is sacrifices of righteousness? Again, it goes back to righteousness. It's who you are. That if we are seeking to offer the sacrifice of righteousness, again, we need to be righteous first. We cannot offer something that is meant to be righteous without being righteous. How? You can't. No matter what you offer, so in Isaiah 1, no matter what they offered, the Lord told them, I didn't ask for all these things. Why? Because they were living in sin. Right? Because they were, you know, God had to tell them, wash yourself white as snow. And then look at the way you live your life. Are you doing this? Are you doing that? We cannot offer sacrifices of righteousness if righteousness is not part of our lives. Again, the idea. So you have God of my righteousness. You have this idea of the godly, right? Those who are godly, they will be set apart. Then the offer of sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. See? So post-prayer is that there will come worship, sacrifices of righteousness, and there will come that trust. Right? Trust in God, trust through the problems of life. He's able to rest at night. He's able to find that sleep. Right? I don't know how your sleep is. My sleep is, you know, I'm a light sleeper. So getting to sleep is one thing, and then having to wake up in the middle of the night, I do that actually quite often. I don't sleep like, 6 hours straight kind. I will wake up, and then my wife is the other opposite. She knock out. And she's dead to the whole world. Bomb next door, so she will not wake up. Well, not really. She's just sleep deprived, so she sleeps very fast. You know, but sometimes things do worry that keeps you up at night, and that's me, right? I've shared this before. And worries do come, concerns do come. But can we learn to find this rest in the Lord, where we learn to trust in Him, where we meditate on the right things? And the answer is yes. But as much as you seek to do that, right, there will be detractors and doubters, right? Verse 6, it goes on to say, there are many who say, who will show us any good? So questions are raised, doubts will come. People will raise questions. Huh? Will God really show good to you? Will there be good that will come? And especially when you have experienced so much bad in a sense, you may end up questioning, does God really show good? And the thing is that you need to keep turning back to God in prayer. Verse 6, he goes on to say, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon me. So the idea here is to lift up the light of God's favor, God's blessings upon me. So he's praying, Lord, show me that light, show me that blessing, that favor that you will give to me. Right? And then, of course, he ends up with all the blessings that will come. Verse 7, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increase. Wow, that's a lot. Right? I mean, you look at people when they go out to harvest, it's always a joyful time because they are bringing the harvest. It's always abundance that they can have, whether it is for their own consumption, whether it's for them to sell. It's always a wonderful time. Well, you will have gladness more than in the season of their grain and wine increase. That means even there's a bumper, you're talking about a bumper year, right? And usually a bumper year, wow, people are just absolutely joyful, but even more joyful than that, right? Verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. Wow, isn't that wonderful? You have peaceful sleep. No, there's no worries, there's stillness. See, this is the, you have stillness of heart and then there's the physical stillness. You cool and then, wow, absolutely still. There's no there's no movement because, wow, just peaceful sleep. Right? And then verse 8, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And God especially protects and there's safety. And all these wonderful blessings will come. Right, when you look at David, he went through a lot, sure. But yet, he knew exactly how to approach these problems. And the key thing is really a life of righteousness. Now, of course, David had his own challenges too, sure. But at least at this point in time, he was seeking to live a life of righteousness. And he mattered. It mattered to God, it mattered to him, and it mattered in the way he prayed. How he saw that when he prayed, there is a basis in which God will answer that prayer. And that is a life of righteousness. So sometimes it's good for us to, as we begin the second half of this year, to actually look at our own prayer lives. You know, how are we? As we look at prayer, are we really taking time to pray? Have we set aside the time to pray? Do you recognize the need to pray? And especially in these times of distress, right? Do we see the need also to live our lives righteously? Because it matters. It matters to God whether we are righteous before Him or not. And even as we seek to pray to Him, what is it that we meditate on as we pray? Right? As we learn to be still and not allow things like anger to get the better of us. Right? I mean, ask yourself, if we are angry all the time, or we allow anger to get the better of us, right? My question to you is, how's your prayer life? Seriously. It's good to ask yourself, how's your prayer life? How close are we with the Lord? And a question will be raised. A question mark will be raised. Right? Or any other sin that we are struggling with. Right? And ultimately, of course, if we get it right, we are living in righteousness, we are praying with the right focus, we are meditating on the right things. We're learning what it means to trust the Lord. There will come that blessing. There will come that joy. There will come that rest. And there will come that safety and protection that we all need in life. And these are things for us to think about as we begin the second half of the year. Let's just get down to looking at our prayer life. How, you know, as you check yourself, how good is our prayer life? Seriously. If we are candid, if we are honest with ourselves, I think we recognize that there's a lot of work yet to be done. And I think it affects the way in which we are relating with God. Whether we are close, whether we are set apart by God, it affects. Okay? Things for you to think about as we go into our groups and as we take time to look at our prayer lives all over again. Okay, we start with this, and then we can look forward to many more Psalms for us to think about and to discuss. And hopefully, along the way, whether it's our prayer life, whether it's the way we worship, whether it's the way we live our lives, I hope and pray that we will continue to grow and develop these areas in our own lives. And you develop a theology, whether it's about prayer, whether it's about worship, in a way that David has sought to develop his own theology in life. Okay? Well, let's pray together and collect the offering. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you as we begin this second half of the year. May we learn to develop a far more theological understanding of prayer. We thank you for David's example in how he sought to pray. And one of the key things that he had discovered for himself was a life of righteousness and how that affects the way in which he prayed and related with you. We pray that you will help us to take time to look at our own lives and to be very candid and open and really being able, Lord, to see our own prayer lives and the weaknesses that we have and the struggles that we have, and help us, Lord, to deal with them. We pray that you will bless. Even as we give an offering, we pray that you will use this offering for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.